from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
What's good, baby? Yes, sir, yes, sir. Welcome in here one more time just for fun. Welcome in here to the Thursday, July 18th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Danny Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He is Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
I'm just a little confused because I don't know what happens. Some days, there's no shadows on my face.
Yeah, no, it's wild.
Some days, just complete shadows.
The lighting in here is wild. I don't know why it adjusts on a day-to-day basis, but it does.
Today is a good lighting day.
Is it?
For me, I don't.
Sometimes the logo behind you is crystal clear, and sometimes it looks like it looks right now.
I don't know, man. What?
I don't know. We here, though.
We here.
We happy you here with us. We're with you for the next 4 hours. We hanging out. We vibing. We're getting through the work day together, man. Happy you're spending part of your day with us. I will give everyone an update, as though it is in the Discord. No, we have started to have conversations about episode number 1,000 coming up on August 21st. It's Wednesday, August 21st. We talked to the final boss about it yesterday. We had brief discussions with the tribal chief as well, who literally walked in on his way out the door and said, "What do you guys want to do?" "Well, we want to do a live show here." He goes, "So let me get this straight. You want to do your show 50 feet from where you're doing it right now?" "Yes, sir."
"Tell Aaron to go back and watch the Office episode where Michael Scott throws the party for Toby leaving. That's what we want."
"Yeah.
We want the Ferris wheels. We want the catering, all that."
"What season is
that?" "Well, by the way, welcome back."
"Yeah, thank you.
Shut up.
Yeah, we're here today."
What season is that? Am I close?"
"No, you're not close to anything, dude. You're on episode 2 of season 2.
Well, Ryan might graduate college by the time you get to that episode."
"That's facts.
I'm in season 2.
There'll be like 8 Office reboots by the time you get to this.
Don't be so judgmental. At least I'm in season 2.
I think it's season 4.
Soren says season 4 finale.
Okay, season 4. Because, so season 2 is Casino Night. Season 3, end of season 3 is with season 4. Yep, that checks out. Yep, season 4.
I'll
Goodbye,
be there soon.
Toby. It's been nice."
"Toby's the one that flirts with Pam, right?"
"Yeah, you barely know Toby. Yeah, he's the HR guy."
"Wait, HR?
Human resources.
Damn it, Casey.
No, I thought who's the guy that likes Pam?"
"It's Jim.
Jim.
Oh.
It's your boy.
Now he's your boy. Came to the party with you. You're responsible.
Sorry, we'll get you
once
there.
Again. I don't know, man. What?
It's fine. It's fine. Anyways, we're working. We're working on. So I go to the Discord channel, which is direct access to the most active members of the Chatty House. My stupid ass thinks I'm going to be able to ask a question and get like a real answer. So after Drew down and the serial connection fire off like 47 jokes, we're finally able to figure out, okay, we're probably, you know, we're up to about 10 to 15. Like, who, like, yeah, no, I'll definitely be there. So what we have to do is figure out like how many like really want to pull up for the 1,000th episode, because it's the 1,000th episode. It's a Wednesday. We're not going to fudge this and make it a Friday or whatever. Like, the 1,000th episode is a Wednesday. And so what we have to figure out is there's a limit to how many people we could have in the building. So we're going to plan some things. We were just trying to get a feel. But it sounds like this 1,000th episode extravaganza is actually going to happen.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. It's going to be good times. It's going to be good times. I wonder how the rest of the office is going to react. They're probably not going to be here.
Then. It'll look like it looks today.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. No one's going to be here.
Yeah, like they just won't come. They'll just like, hey, let's just make Wednesday the day we don't come to work like we do on Monday and select Fridays.
They do that come to work. Not saying they're not working, but like being in the building.
What's Stacy's schedule? Because a lot of them will be here on the day that Stacy is here.
Yeah, Stacy's here. They'll be here.
Yeah. Here today?
Nope. Well, you see her. You see who else in here. So the whole let Stacy and Kimberly be gone. The whole building empty.
Oh man, love it here, man. We
and the only people who are here are all meeting with the tribal chief in the kitchen area right now.
That's right. And then there's a level of panic because I just remembered yesterday. Well, they alerted me. Megan is going on maternity leave in August. I don't know what's going to happen when that happens. I mean, Jackie and Joe and Danielle, they're good, but Megan's the promotions tribal chief.
She is. Yeah. I think Jackie and Joe got it.
Yeah. They're really good.
So we're
Danielle needs to come in and talk Kings. They said she breaks down the Kings.
No, when you talk, like, Danielle's funny because, like, when you get her, like, she'll start talking. Mm. Like, we were at the Janet show together outside, and it was me, Danielle, and Joe, and I got Danielle talking, and she's very engaging.
Is Danielle Pam?
Well, no, I don't know.
You're disrespecting the game.
No, like, don't do that. Yeah. Who's Jim if Danielle's Pam? What are you doing right now?
We're just throwing characters to coworkers with no logic or reason.
Yeah, sir, sit down. Would you please?
Take a lap, huh? Take a lap. Fence and back.
Just sit down. But we're gonna plan some fun things coming up for August 21st. It's a month away. Shout out to you guys for pointing out. We knew it was close. I wasn't gonna do anything with it until
first time we would have realized like 2 weeks before.
Probably. Yeah. And then Stacy would have been mad at us, like, why didn't you guys tell us about this? Well, we've been trying to sell an anniversary party for 3 years.
Oh, there's that.
We got fugazied into one once. Turned out to be a fraternity party. We had nothing to do with.
That one's always funny.
I haven't been to Top Golf since, man.
Me either. That was the only time I've been there.
I want to go back. I like Top Golf.
That was funny. It's like, oh yeah, this is our sales guy right here. Oh, that's but I am a sales guy.
Yeah, bro, you're a sales guy.
Like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, go.
what? Friends?
I can tell you, we're not that.
I remember the first time I knew what time
it be.
It was.
When they say it be your own people, man, it be your own people.
I remember the first time. Who got us together? Was it Danny? I think it was Danny, me, you, and the person.
On a Zoom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that. And I knew what time it was with you.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
I said, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for me to, like, I'm not the best, like, it's hard to fake it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just don't, I'm, like, I can't sell. And like Danny is putting him over and selling, and I'm like, you, this dude is a con man. You can't be serious. Like, you cannot be serious. I remember we got on a Zoom before you're literally trying to leave for the airport to go to Atlanta to go to Rick Ross's house, and you guys should have. I would have gotten this paid for.
Oh, yep. Come on, man.
Okay, bro.
I remember that.
Okay,
man.
Okay, bro. Yeah, whatever you say, jackass. Kenny got to get on a flight. We got to go. Thanks for calling. Idiot.
Oh man, I wonder what he's doing nowadays, man.
Probably conning somebody else.
Probably. Probably.
Just out there conning people. So we'll keep you guys updated on that as it progresses. We might have to do like an RSVP type thing. We might have to do like actual come to the studio and pick up ticket type thing. Like I'm not sure.
Waiting list type
thing. Yeah, we got time though. We'll work on it. We'll work on it for sure. You see Caitlin Clark yesterday? Caitlin broke Tisha's rookie record for assists. She broke the single game record, league period, in assists. Like she had herself.
That was a fantastic performance. Fantastic, but 19 assists is that's hard to do
in a loss.
Well, it wasn't really close
in a loss,
but that, I mean, that was a hell of a performance. Kind of and that was one of the things that I saw from her second year at Iowa. Obviously, she's a great scorer, but she really opened my eyes with her passing ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to carry over consistently throughout her career. Is she's a much better passer than I realized when I first got introduced to her. And she was on full display last night.
Tisha's record been in existence since 98.
Wow.
This is the second year in the league.
Wow.
The second year of the league's existence.
Yeah.
That's how long that rookie record stood. I think Vandersloot set the record. I'm almost positive Vandersloot set the record in a playoff game like 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm.
It was definitely Vandersloot's record. I know they said that last night. But I think it was in a playoff game.
Mm.
And, I think, man, that's just a phenomenal number.
I'll ask Jesse. You might know. Jesse, you know who has the NBA record?
NBA record for assists?
Yeah.
Is it Pistol Pete?
No.
No?
I feel like we did this recently.
Maybe about 9 months ago.
It was it's not Stockton.
We're talking assists in a game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought last time, it was like someone from the 70s.
I'm gonna
like
be. No, I don't think it's someone from the 70s either. I'm going to be mad when you say it, like Jeff Hornacek or something. Who is it?
Oh, they just do it in the chat.
Scott Skiles.
Yeah.
Scott Skiles.
Yeah, 31.
I was going to say it was 30-something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That is a crazy amount of
How do you even pass 31 times in a game?
Right.
Like, what player in the league today passes 31 times
well, look at
besides
the numbers
Tyrese?
That, I want to see that box.
Who passes up layups to...
right. Or Ben Simmons.
Don't do that.
Pass up dunks? I think, I can't remember. It's 30, 31, or 32. I
thought it was 30, but...
That's crazy.
Whether it's 30, 31, 32,
we marvel
or whatever,
over the Kings having 30 assists as a team in a
right.
game.
Right, yeah. yeah.
30 assists by himself.
Is that even possible in the NBA, like, to do that now? You think someone could get 30 assists now? Like, we've seen 18 and 17, but...
I wonder what the most we've seen since. Because what was that, the 90s?
That was
mid-90s?
Like 92, I think.
I wonder...
I think Rondo had a 19-assist game once, around there. It was pretty high, 17, 18, something like that. But...
Mm. Yeah, I wonder... I mean, it seems like scoring is consistently up. So I wonder why, we won't see anything, or we haven't seen anything close to that. I don't know. It feels like somebody should have got to 25 or something at some point.
That was Caitlin's third game with 20-plus points and 10 assists. Mm. Exactly one other rookie has done it once.
Mm.
And it was Angel. Wow. Angel McCautry, who was just nasty in Atlanta her first year.
Rondo had 25 assists in 2017.
Okay. Man,
Rondo. I'm looking at some stuff too. Rondo had 24 in another game, and I'm trying to see if there's anybody recent that's even come.
How many of them were to DeMarcus?
Rondo had 23 in another game.
Man,
wow.
Were any of these in a Kings uniform?
I don't think so. I saw Boston, but look, 23 assists, December 30th, 2023. Tyrese Halliburton.
Okay.
23 assists.
I don't even remember.
I think that's the most recent player.
It was a year ago. I didn't check that out.
New Utah Jazz had 22.
Who?
New Utah Jazz player. Oh. Russell Westbrook had 22 in 2016.
I told you what I think should happen with the Russell, because Russell Westbrook got to go to waivers. They got him going to Denver. Monty, pick him up. Just say, no, Denver, my ass. We're claiming Russ off waivers.
You here.
We'll come back. Amazing performance from Caitlin Clark last night. But if what I read this morning is accurate, she's taking a bit of an L. I don't like this. Yes. I feel like Kenny Caraway when it comes to the dunk contest. We'll explain. And ESPN has power rankings out. Where do the Sacramento Kings rank? We'll talk about that as well. Stephen with KC, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the phone lines, hang out with us here today. We were marveling Caitlin Clark's tremendous performance yesterday, breaking Tisha Pinachero's rookie single-game assist record, breaking Courtney Vandersloot's single-game assist record, period, regardless of how long you've been in the in the league yesterday. But it had come out before the game that her and Sabrina Ionescu are not a part of the three-point contest. She was asked about it yesterday, and she was asked, I believe, were you invited to the three-point contest? And her response was, I don't know. I'm focused on tonight's game. We'll worry about the All-Star game after that. I think it was reported today that she turned down an invitation to be a part of the three-point contest. I don't know. I don't know if Sabrina turned one down also. My thing with Sabrina is I feel like she kind of did her work. Not only did she do the WNBA three-point contest, she did the, you know, Steph Curry versus three-point contest as well. If she wants to bow out for a year, okay. I don't have a big issue with that. Caitlin turning down a spot in the 3-point contest is a L. It's a L for her, in my opinion, and it's a L for the league. Like, she should have, and it's not the league's fault. If the league extends the invitation and she turns it down, there's nothing they could do about that. But I think this is a tough look for Caitlin. Like, she should have been a part of this. Like, she would have, and I'm sure she has her reasons, and they're probably far more of a deeper level than I'm willing to give it give credit to, but it's a tough look. I think she should have been a part of it.
Caitlin, she isn't like necessarily, while she's unbelievably popular, and you know, just her alone, she brings eyes and attention to the league. She's not really an ambassador. Like, that doesn't really seem like a role that she embraces.
I don't think she knows how to do it yet. I think that's part of the problem. Part of me wonders if she wants to do it.
I don't think she does.
Okay.
I don't think she does. I think, and I forgive me for continuing to to go back here. Trust me, I'm trying not to, but I can't avoid what comes to my mind. She is Larry Bird, and Angel is Magic Johnson in that respect. Angel is outgoing. She's going to be outside. Oh, yeah. She's going to talk. Mm-hmm. She's going to do all this just like Magic. Larry was a lot more reserved. Like, I'm here to play basketball, do a job, and you can kind of keep all that other stuff. And once again, I'm not saying these are about to – Caitlin, I think Caitlin's a better player than Angel, but I'm not saying these are about to be the two Hall of Fame icons of the league. But they are kind of married in that respect, and it's very interesting how they are taking, like, the personas and the personalities of those two almost to a T. And I just – that's what I thought about when I thought about Caitlin, because I thought the same thing. Like, why isn't she like a better ambassador? Why isn't she interested? I don't think she's interested at all.
She might not be.
I don't think she's here for all that. She just wants
My thought was more of less that she's not interested, and more of she, especially this year, is trying not to make waves. Like, she is the focal point of virtually everything that's I think she's the focal point of stuff she wants nothing to do with. I do believe, to a certain degree, to stick with your Larry analogy, she's just trying to play basketball. I do think she wants to make an impact on basketball. I think she wants to make an impact on the game. But she's seen the way that this whole thing has started, and I don't think she wants any part of that. And I thought making the Olympic team would really help, because she would have essentially a month to be around the biggest stars in the game. And the biggest... not only the biggest stars in the game, but the everything that comes with it, which is a variety of brand sponsors, league personnel people. You know, it's where, you know, Nike people and Adidas people and all that, they all converge all into one place at one time for the Olympics. And her not making that team, I thought, like, oh, man, that's going to, I think that's going to make her uproad battle that I think she, her uproad climb that she was already on, I think it's going to make it a little bit steeper.
Yeah. Yeah. I see her. I even think back to Iowa, and she just, like, she seems like a very, like, at least with the, in publicly, like maybe with her family and friends, it's different, but very introverted type of person. She looks at all the extras. It's probably a job. And sometimes you don't want to do her job. You know what I mean? Whereas Asia, I won't even keep using Angel, but Asia is, she out there. Oh, I got to do this this magazine cover. You know what I mean? I'm do it. You know, I'm 2K25. Like, I'm out here. We got to do a press conference. I got to talk. Like, it's what we do. You know what I mean? And it's a little bit more natural to her personality, I feel.
She's 7 years in too, though.
Yeah, she's also older. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm not judging her or saying it's a bad thing. I just don't think Caitlin is that interested in doing all the extras. Like, I haven't seen one thing from her since I've been introduced to her in the last 3-4 years that makes me think she wants to be a part of anything off the court. Wants to be embraced.
But what would you give me an example of something you'd want to see her do?
All-Star Weekend is one.
That's the most obvious one. Like, she should have been a part of this, but I'm trying to like see through.
Even look at press conferences. It's just like, well, anything that's,
I'm here
anything
so I don't get
asked,
fined.
Yeah, anything that's asked her, it's like, well, just whatever, and I'm gonna deal with it. And
you could be right.
On to the next question.
You could absolutely be right. Sometimes I watch her from a little bit of a different perspective, in that I think she's timid. I think there got to be a point earlier this year, the WNBA year. College so much, I don't know. Players' personalities evolve, people evolve. Like, these are college kids. Like, they're going to change as they get older. I don't really think much about, you know, there's one person that, like, Renee Montgomery was exactly the same as UConn as she was with Minnesota, as she was with Connecticut, as she was with Atlanta, as she is today. Mm-hmm. She is exactly the same. More mature, like, that whole thing. But in terms of that personality, her personality is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I think people, like, their personalities change over time. I can't really pinpoint anything in Iowa where I feel like I got a good grasp of her personality. But watching her throughout the W so far, through all of the media stuff leading into the draft, all of the media stuff coming out of the draft, and all of the ridiculousness that ensued afterwards, I felt like there was a point this year where she just got timid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was after the Kennedy Carter thing where it felt like this has just kind of gotten a little bit out of control. Mm-hmm. But it feels like then she doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. She doesn't want to say the wrong thing. She doesn't want to do anything, which is why part of me wonders if she turned down the invitation because she thought, if I do this, it's going to be all about me and everyone's going to be mad at me. So maybe if I just turn it down, they'll go have the, and it'll be about the league and it'll be about the shooters and it'll be all about them, which it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't things. Like, you're going to, because our opinion is, no, you should have been a part of it. And you got to, and this easy for me to say, you got to put all that other stuff like away. Like, you are a part of the growth of the game. Right. Angel is a part of the growth of the game. Asia, like, there's player after player you can name that are part of the growth of the game. You're a part of it. Don't shy away from that.
I agree 100%. The other thing about that is you're playing in the game. Like, you in the three-point contest isn't going to be any less attention on you, or not participating in three-point contest isn't going to be any less attention on you for the weekend. You're playing in the game. If you're going to be there, be there. And this is the advice I would give to her, not trying to chastise her. I'd be like, you're there. Like, go ahead and do everything that you want to do, that you're asked to do. All-Star weekend, embrace it, enjoy it, have a good time, have fun with it. The All-Star game is supposed to be a time where all these players in all sports get a chance to relax a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To exhale a little bit and not be so uptight about everything. And try to embrace that in All-Star. Because, like I said, you're still in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't want to be a distraction at all, which would turn into another distraction, don't be there at all. Mm-hmm. But you're there for the game, so go ahead and do the three-point
contest. No, I'm with you. I agree with you completely. This is also a weird All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Like, these Olympic ones are always just, like, a little bit different. Because it's, you know, you want to respect the All-Stars for sure, but it's really about USA. Mm. And, that's what this weekend is about.
It's sending them off a little bit.
That's what it is. Like, I don't know that there's an Abu Dhabi trip for the women. Like, they get Phoenix, right? That's what the fellas get, Abu Dhabi. Right. The ladies get Phoenix. And then they hop on a plane and I think they fly straight to Paris, but I can't remember, but they definitely fly Saturday night after the game. They're out of there.
Do you think it was a bad look for her not to just say what happened as opposed to saying, I don't know?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I guess. Like, I get the idea, let's get through the game first, but she probably isn't going to speak again until tomorrow. So it's going to come out between the end of your game and your first media availability in Phoenix tomorrow. It's going to come out. So, yeah, like, you could have, I don't think, I forgot her name. Coach of the Fever would have been like, we were just distracted by this damn three-point contest stuff. I don't think that would have happened. So, right. Like, yeah, she could have addressed it.
Yeah.
But again, it's easy for us to say.
She's a rookie.
I would have liked to have seen her in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know me in those situations. It's a three-point contest. Just go ahead and
get them up.
Just go ahead and do it.
Or she said, I'm not going to be Kevin Herter. Well, you ain't gonna shoot my confidence for the next year and a half. Ain't no way.
Or Kevin riding around Sacramento listening to D'Lo and Casey. Hey, what the hell? Where'd I come from with all
this? Well, hopefully Kevin was listening earlier this week, too, when we were talking about how he still has very much 100%. Has a...
Kevin listens all the time. So, yeah, he heard that, too.
Well, there are definitely people that listen all the time. Yeah. Salute. We appreciate y'all. You know, y'all act like you don't listen. We know that you listen.
Come on now.
We love y'all. We appreciate it.
Matthew's Mattress Chatty House. Our guy, Mark Wong, asks, do you think it's different because she's coming off her college season two? It's been nonstop attention since October, November. She might just want to get through the game. What's one more day? What's one more half day?
And it could be. It could be. But I'm with you. Yeah. Just, you got a month off.
Yeah.
Or close
literally,
to it.
No. We saw that yesterday.
You got almost a month. Right. The next WNBA game is like August 18th. It's the next WNBA game that will be played. They'll ask you, Christy. Thank you, Ramsey. Christy Sides will ask you to come back like a week in advance. Get, you know, they're going to dismiss you. You know, that's a weird phrasing. You're going to be allowed to leave. She doesn't have to stay in Indiana. Mm-hmm. She can go to Turks and Caicos with Kamara if she wants to. She can go do whatever she wants to do for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
And then she'll be able to come back and ramp up. But the point is, she's going to have time to like chill. She's going to have time to decompress. And I think that's great for people like her, Angel, the rest of this rookie class. They'll get, you know, it only happens every 4 years. You'll get a chance to get that little break before the second part of the season. It's going to be tough to ramp back up. You'll see this coming out of the All-Star break. You'll see teams that might have looked a certain way going into the break look differently coming out, because it is a month-long break. And Asia and Chelsea, they're out there playing with Sabrina, and they're playing with an entirely different crop of players, entirely different coaches, entirely different system, entirely different opponents, entirely different game. And then it's like, all right, let's come back and get reacclimated to this. A lot of them are used to it because they play overseas and things are a little bit different over there sometimes, but the rebound time is quick. All right, we got our gold medal. Great, everybody's excited. Let's go win a championship now.
Right. Oh, yeah, in fact. And the other thing, one last thing I got to say about it, and just no disrespect, but like, this is part of it. This is part of being a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of you getting that contract from Nike. You're going to have to do things that maybe you wish, like, I wish I didn't have to do this, but this is part of the job.
Yeah.
This is part of the job. This is it. Making, you know, these type of appearances on your thing. I don't think this is the case, but what if Nike wanted to debut the Caitlin 1 on All-Star Weekend? No, you're going to have to get in the three-point shootout and play in the All-Star game, because that's part of the job.
Yeah, my argument is they probably should have given her a heads up if that's what they wanted to do.
But no, definitely.
Point.
And if they were, I think she would have done it.
Something where, unless there is a reason that we don't know about, Nike probably should be involved in this. Mm-hmm. Like, her representative should be involved. Like, hey, you need to take this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take this every year. Sabrina has shown that. You don't have to take this every year, but you need to take it now. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of people have already thought, well, man, that Steph Sabrina thing was really successful. Well, what could we do next year?
Mm-hmm.
How can we get, you know, Caitlin involved in this? Can we get, you know, it doesn't make as much sense. I remember there was an original, like, Steph and Clay versus Sabrina and Caitlin type thing.
I'll still do it.
You could. Yeah. Why not? You could still do it. Hell, it could be Steph and Keegan. Do whatever you want to. Like, there's things you could do, but now it'll look weird if you're at NBA All-Star game, NBA All-Star weekend, excuse me, and not WNBA All-Star weekend.
Agreed.
But I'm excited for WNBA All-Star Weekend. I'm excited for the game. It's always fun to watch, because those All-Stars, they want to win. Because the USA team is the collection of the very best players in the league. And the very best American player, they want to beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
And that team has to get going, right? They have things that they got to do, too. So it'll be a fun watch this weekend in Phoenix for sure. ESPN put out their first round of power rankings. Kings ranked 15th. Kings were behind the Pelicans and Grizzlies. As a matter of fact, the rankings went feel like there's a lot to dissect here. Kings at 15. Warriors, Lakers, Clippers. That was 15, 16, 17, and 18 in the ESPN power rankings.
Well, I mean, people be showing a lot of respect to the Warriors. That's cool. I get it.
I'm surprised that's what you led with. I don't really have a problem with the Warriors being at 16. I don't have an issue with that.
Warriors aren't better than the Lakers.
I feel like that's a little too close to the Kings for my liking, too.
Yeah, and that's my other aspect of it.
They're not like 1-1.
So
like
you,
the Kings are better.
So you guys are both drawn to the Warriors in what I just said. Because my first thing was the Grizzlies.
I'm higher on the Grizzlies than others. I was talking on the Insiders with Kyle. I think the Grizzlies will be a playing team at least.
Yeah, I don't know if the Grizzlies are better than the Kings, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
I'm pretty confident. Right now, I feel they're not better than the Kings.
I wouldn't put them over right now either.
Yeah, that was my first thought as well, is like, man, y'all really, and I understand why, based on what we saw, and you still have, you know, I keep saying it seems like that's a ton of pressure on Ja Morant. Feels like it's also a lot of pressure on Marcus Smart. Because Marcus went there and you know, things kind of went the way that they did, which was probably best for Memphis anyways, given the direction that season was going after what happened to Ja Morant anyways, from the suspension to the return, the exhilaration when he returned to the unfortunate injury that took him out for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. But now you have this, you know, you have this combination of Ja and Desmond and Jaren. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, okay, we're bringing Marcus in to tie this whole thing together. And it's like, all right, I like all those guys. I really like Marcus Smart. You are missing some other important pieces because, you know, and I think the article did the same. It pointed, you know, to where they were at, you know, one or two or wherever they were a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. That's great. Like, Steven Adams is gone. Mm-hmm. Dylan, no matter what you guys think about Dylan Brooks, he was important to what that they were doing. He was part of that team's identity. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gone. So you're being really, really dismissive of both of those guys, especially with Steven Adams, because it felt like when things truly fell apart for Memphis is when Steven Adams got hurt. And Dylan Brooks, if you're the same group of people that are telling me how good Houston's going to be, Dylan's got to be factored into that. But you're not factoring into Memphis being a little bit worse because Dylan Brooks not there. I can't make that math work. And that's why every time I see these people tout, like, the return of the Memphis Grizzlies, what they're going to be this year, I get a little, again, we're talking plus 20 to just get in the conversation of where the Kings were. Right. Plus 20 from where they were last year.
It's one of those things, I think, for me, where you probably just kind of accept the fact that they're not going to look, national people aren't going to look at the Kings in an optimistic way. Then they're always going to look at these other teams in an optimistic way. For example, New Orleans, Memphis, and Phoenix should not be ahead of the Kings. Like, if we're having a real basketball decision, those are the next ones.
But how do you put the Kings ahead of New Orleans?
Because New Orleans ain't the same team.
Yeah, I was talking. Yeah, I think the Kings are going to be better than New Orleans this year. Like, last season, that was ugly, but I think you look at the teams right now, Kings are better. Like, New Orleans lost Valanciunas, too. That'll hurt them.
New Orleans beat the Kings six times. They beat the Kings, like, people go by that. They beat the Kings six times, and they were only one game better than them? You went 6-0 against the Kings, and you one game better. You didn't dominate them. You didn't dominate them in the standings, I should say. But they lost a player. The Kings gained a player. If we're separating the two, like, for instance, no disrespect or nothing like that, but I would say the Kings should be ahead of the Nuggets then. Because they beat them up last year.
It's a shoot.
You know what I mean? So, no. The Pelicans, Grizzlies, Suns should not be ahead of the Kings. But I say all that to say, they're not – of course they're going to – they're going to look at – people always worry about, like, looking at Kings colored glasses and all this other stuff. They're going to always look at it in broken clean Kings glasses. Like, they're always going to take the worst-case scenario with the Kings – and go about it that way. Like, yeah, the Kings added players, but they're just kind of barely better than the Warriors. They're not better than the Pelicans. They're not better than the Grizzlies. They're not better than the Phoenix Suns. Then you just kind of, okay.
The whole Brandon Ingram thing is weird, too.
Very.
Like, hey, we're going to trade you. Now we're not going to trade you.
So these were the... Okay, so I want to get back to that, by the way, because David Griffin said something that I came across this morning that I thought was phenomenal, partly because we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredible. I want to bring it to you. So we're talking about the power rankings while we're kind of hearing these teams around Sacramento. You guys both brought up the Warriors. Did you read Zach Lowe's column?
I did not.
Zach suggested that perhaps the Warriors could again be a powerhouse.
Okay. Why?
You said it best yesterday. You said it best yesterday. Their own damn owner is conceding that it's over. He's saying, I can't pay this bill. It's done.
Here's what was written. This isn't Zach Lowe. This is the power rankings. Mm-hmm. Here's what was written in the power rankings. It's the end of an era with Klay Thompson joining the Mavericks, but the Warriors rebounded with the acquisitions of Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and DeAnthony Melton.
All right.
They have more shooting options, always a priority in the Warriors' offense, and their depth on their bench is rounding out. Is it possible for the Warriors to make one more move? Yes. And it could be for Lauri Markkanen, as discussed on the Low Post. But they'll continue to develop Pods, Trace, Kuminga, and Moody to finally be steady contributors in the rotation.
That Buddy Hield graphic, like right behind Steph and three-pointers made, did nasty work.
Nasty.
To the world.
Nasty. Now, I don't want to leave the Warriors. I do want to get to what was written about the Kings. But I want to... Oh, I clicked on the wrong one. Stand by. My bad. Emi, I wanted to read you exactly what your boy, Zach Lowe, wrote.
I like Zach Lowe, too.
I
like Zach Lowe.
So do I. He has it titled West Powerhouses, Past and Maybe Present.
Wait a minute, real quick. What you just read was in the power rankings or in Zach Lowe?
That was in the power rankings. What I just read to you was in the power rankings.
Who wrote that? I thought that was Zach Lowe.
No. Don't make me say who wrote it, please.
Say it. Say the name.
No. I'm gonna go. So
I'll say it.
I thought that was Zach Lowe.
That wasn't Zach. That wasn't.
So somebody else independently.
Yeah. Not taking this well. You okay. You know what? I don't think I want to read Zach Lowe's column to you anymore.
Go ahead and read Zach Lowe. Like I said, I thought that was Zach Lowe. I mentally prepared myself saying, okay, Zach Lowe thinks there's something that could be going on with the Warriors. Let me hear what he has to say. And then you say it, and I'm like, all right, Zach, you tripping or whatever the case may be, but I know I'm mentally prepared for you feeling that way. And then you drop the bomb on me, Gap Band, and tell me that was not Zach Lowe. That's somebody else who made the argument for them being some type of powerhouse and rebounding. All right. Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on, man. I really don't.
The team, as presently constituted, could make the playoffs. Perhaps even win a round. There's alcohol in that room over there, if that'll help. To Zach Lowe's defense, he does follow that sentence up with, anything beyond that feels unlikely.
Well, at least he's being reasonable at this point. It's okay.
This whole column that Zach Lowe wrote is to set up the idea of acquiring Lauri Markkanen and how acquiring Lauri Markkanen changes the trajectory of the Golden State Warriors.
How is that team going to win a round in the playoffs? How is that? Come on, man. They couldn't win with the goddamn Splash Brothers. But they got DeAnthony Melton. They could win a round in the playoffs.
Buddy Hield.
The goddamn Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant couldn't win a round in the playoffs. But they're going to win a round in the playoffs?
Is that a rhetorical question?
My gosh.
Jesse, that's my bad. We'll just keep going. You know what? Why don't we just...
Joel Embiid and damn near Tyrese Maxey couldn't win a round in the playoffs against the Knicks. But this team going to win a round in the playoffs. They were the 10th seed last year.
You know, why don't we just table Warriors talk here? Let's go back to power rankings. That was, I read you what they said about the Golden State Warriors. How about what they said about the Sacramento Kings, who were slotted one ranking before Golden State?
I mean, they should be. They just got slow-mo. They got slow-mo. The Warriors should be up there. They rebounded.
Is the signing of DeMar DeRozan enough to propel the Kings in the West? DeRozan joining the Kings is one of the biggest free agent signings in Sacramento history. Despite having to give up Harrison Barnes and Chris Duarte, DeRozan's offensive prowess, especially his mid-range game, should fit nicely alongside Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, and Malik Monk, who signed a four-year extension earlier this summer. However,
no, don't say it. I know what the hell you're gonna say. Do not say it.
Do it.
No,
do
no,
it.
No, go ahead. Finish my sentence.
I don't even.
However,
look. I don't. You ain't even got to read it. I haven't seen it. I'm not even looking at it.
Yep.
Defense still remains a question.
DeRozan's defensive limitations won't help an area the Kings are desperate to improve.
I'm with the Chatty House and Zabo. Like, despite losing Duarte and Barnes,
That was crazy.
No,
I'm just.
We're back, baby.
So, if you go read, I don't know how many it was. I genuinely don't. I'll go a dozen. Minimum a dozen. If you go read a dozen ESPN power rankings from last season, every single one will end with a sentence similar to what that one ended with. I challenge anybody listening or watching to find a power rankings from last year where there is not a sentence probably at the very, very, very end about the Sacramento Kings and their defensive limitations.
We got to stop this. Not us, them.
What do they call it where it's like the little thing is written for you? You have to insert some words or whatever?
Mad Libs.
I feel like that's what we do for the Kings.
Except they don't change it ever.
I'm saying, it's like just a generic point. Offense.
They have the Kings power ranking paragraph for the third week of the season written right now.
Shoot. That's a shoot.
Written right now. Just get ready. This is the one for the third week. Just go ahead and get ready to put that in there.
DeChef Monty in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House says Duarte was the heart and soul of the Kings defense.
Don't forget those last couple of preseason games.
Trojan CBB reminds us ESPN Kings takes drinking game.
At least they got the names right. What was I watching? Somebody did call Keegan Bradley.
No.
TV. Yeah, it was like recent.
NBA.com did that like when he got drafted too.
Yeah.
Somebody on TV called him Keegan Bradley. Or on radio, I can't remember.
Is there a Keegan Bradley in the league that keeps confusing these
individuals? No, he's a golfer. Keegan Bradley is a golfer.
He absolutely is a golfer. Oh yeah, this has to get on the screen.
How tapped into golf do you have to be to get that wrong?
No, this is let's get this on the screen. Stand by.
Oh no, wait a minute.
No, hang on.
Wait, we found the clip?
No, I need people to see who Keegan Bradley is.
Oh, come on, man.
No, this is good. I need you to see this. I'm going to search Keegan Bradley to see if I can. This is the guy that they're mistaking for the Kings rookie. That guy right there. That's Keegan Bradley.
I gotta say, I don't see it.
Like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Keegan Bradley, golfer.
Keegan Bradley. And at this point,
he's 38 years old.
Like I said, this happened a couple weeks ago. The guy's been in the league for 2 years at this point. We can't say his name correctly. It's Keegan Murray.
Unbelievable.
Not like he's some end of the bench guy either.
Yeah, starter.
The fourth pick of the draft like 2 years ago.
He broke Donovan Mitchell's 3-point rookie record. They loved that record when it was Donovan's. They seem to have hated it now that it's Keegan's.
I just don't get it, man. I said I wasn't going to try to, trip off what these people say. But it's just, I'm not even necessarily mad. I'm baffled. I'm like, yo, why are we writing these things?
I always feel like it comes down to, like, it's just, they come off as like the Kings aren't worth their time.
Pretty much.
Because we've been reading the same thing for the last however many years. Crazy. It's the same thing. It's never been switched up.
That's the crazy thing. And I don't...
You want
to
say...
I don't know... No disrespect to this man. I don't know why Chris Duarte was in that paragraph. Like, why?
He's getting DNPs.
Why? Why does he have even be mentioned in what you lost?
How will they recover?
I don't get it, man. But like I said at the beginning of all this, I had already got my mind conditioned to the fact that they're just not going to look at the Kings that way. That's cool. That's cool.
Stephen
cool.
McBride says, maybe it's the Golden One Center's fault. Maybe it sounds like we're saying Bradley on TV. Yes, because every shot he makes, 18,000 people yell, Bradley!
The thing is, too, it's like, you go around the room in the studio, like, Casey can tell you something about the Hornets that'll be, like, legit about the Hornets. It's not that hard, bro.
It's not.
Well, D-Mac asked a great question. Where's Chris Bradley at? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, man. But, like I said earlier, I can't get too upset because I'm already conditioned. They're not going to look at the Kings in an optimistic light, and that's cool. It really is whatever. It's just words. This is how I feel with because my homeboy always asking me and all these little quarterback rankings come out and I'll be like, I don't really care where they rank Brock Purdy. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I have that written into the show for like the eighth day in a row.
They could rank him 32. All he's going to do is beat the hell out all these people that he's ranked ahead of, and that's all I care about. Same thing with the Kings. Like, they'll be better than New Orleans. They'll be better than Memphis. They'll be better than I love talking about it, but they're never going to look at the Kings in an optimistic light. They're just not, and they're always going to look. Well, Memphis, they're getting Ja and Marcus Smart back. Watch out! I think this is a dark horse.
Let's see what they wrote about Memphis. A team that won, and this is our guy, Bobby Marks wrote this.
Shout out, Bobby Marks.
This is our guy, Bobby. Yeah. A team that won 27 games last season typically would have some major changes in the offseason, but Memphis was hampered last season by both Ja Morant's early season suspension and injuries up and down the roster, including Morant's season-ending shoulder issue. The Grizzlies will return a healthy Morant in a strong starting lineup that includes Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Who's the center?
Memphis also drafted Zach Edey at number 9 to complement Jackson in the front court. A silver lining for the Grizzlies' lost season was the development of 2023 second-round pick G.G. Jackson II, who played significant minutes and was named to the All-Rookie Second Team. Very thoughtful breakdown by Bobby Marks right there.
I like G.G. Jackson, too, by the way. Good ball player. But, you know, the crazy thing, and he played...
So...
My bad.
No, you're good. I'm confused.
He played really well in his, I don't know how many summer league games he played, like one or two or whatever. But he played well, and I'm talking about I'm talking about Zach Edey. Yeah. But the guy, we saw him. We were at Tom's Watch Bar together. He couldn't stay in front of some kids from UConn. How you going to stay in front of De'Aaron Fox? Mm-hmm. How you going to stay in front of Devin Booker? Mm-hmm. And that, like, that's, yo, we got him because, you know, now we're going to go with the starting five. This guy's going to be in foul trouble on the bench 5 minutes into every game. But if the Kings would have drafted him, it would have been a different write-up. Been a different write-up. That's cool, though.
The write-up would have read, this dumbass franchise drafted a play. It's not going to fix their defense.
That's cool. In all seriousness, I think Memphis is going to be in contention for a playoff spot. I do. I think they're
going to
be.
Top six.
Yeah, I think they're going to be around 6, 7, 8, you know, there.
Okay.
Right? I do not think they're going to be better than the Kings.
I could see Memphis in the, yeah, I guess I'm with you. I see them more in a 7, 8, 9 spot, maybe more like an 8, 9 spot, but like they're a plus 500 team. Like I think they're that.
I agree.
The write up on New Orleans is interesting because it's not a favorable write up.
No, there's nothing favorable that have happened.
But they're 14th.
Yeah.
Despite acquiring DeJounte Murray in one of the offseason's biggest deals, the Pelicans' top question remains unchanged. Who is the starting center? Free agent Jonas Valanciunas signed with the Wizards. Backups Larry Nance and Cody Zeller were traded to the Hawks in the Murray deal. New Orleans still has power forward Jeremiah Robinson Earl, but the only front court addition has been rookie Yvias Messi and free agent Daniel Theis. It still seems the Pelicans have one more move to shore up before the starting group. To shore up the starting group. No reference to Brandon Ingram and the facts that he is in one of the most unique contract situations I think we've ever seen. And I'm going to play the sound. We're going to play the sound from David Griffin, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Mm. There's probably a lot of flaws in David Griffin, but his honesty in the middle of a radio interview doesn't appear to be one of them. Does not appear to be one of them. So we'll have that sound for you. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk basketball. And we'll continue to gripe about what people think about the Kings because why not?
Talk a little bit
about Keon, too. Mm. Keon had a nice performance yesterday. And I think a question that came up in the chat a couple of times, less about yesterday's performance, more about his performance overall, is does it mean anything one way or the other? Mm. So we'll talk about that. Phone lines open for you as always, 916-909-1320. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky is the limit at Sky River Casino.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.